I want to be simple in the gospel tonight. And I want to speak about peace. Do you have peace? That's begin to commence with Romans. Romans chapter 5. Beginning at verse 1. Page 1353. Therefore, having been justified on the principle of faith, we have peace towards God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have also access by faith into this favour in which we stand. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. Peace. Do you know what peace is? In this world, there is very little peace. It's very evident. So much war, uncertainty, turmoil. Nobody knows what's going to happen from one moment to the next. And then you think about perhaps your circumstances. And perhaps sometimes in our lives we don't feel peace. Perhaps we feel that we're caught up in turmoil and uncertainty, difficulties and trauma, difficult circumstances, things that are difficult to deal with, things that didn't go as planned. We don't have peace. But as a Christian, it's the most wonderful thing to be sure that you have peace with God. There's no greater thing that the preacher can offer in the gospel than peace with God. Perfect peace. And what does that mean? Well, I can tell you what it means to me. Is that all my sins and my unrighteousnesses have been cleared, are gone, obliterated, not brushed under the carpet, not hidden away for another day, but erased before the sight of a holy and righteous God. And I hope, I sincerely hope, that that is the portion of everyone in this hall tonight, that you know that you have a sure and lasting peace with God because of what Christ has done. I think this chapter is so beautiful and precious. Therefore, having been justified on the principle of faith, the opportunity to be justified before God, not self-justified. There were persons in the day of our Lord Jesus when he was alive, the scribes and the Pharisees, who justified themselves or sought to justify themselves by their own works and their own, as they saw it, righteousnesses. There's no true peace in that. No true peace. And men these days might try and justify themselves and their actions and say they're all right compared to other men and women around them, that they've done relatively well. But what is that? They're still sinners. We're all still sinners. How levelling the gospel is to every man, woman and child. That we all sinners and have all fallen short of the glory of God. And we need to come to God in repentance for what we have done. Not only for the sins that we've committed, how great are how many? More than we could possibly number, day by day. But our sinful state. We have a sinful state from the moment that we're born into this world. An inclination to do our own will and not what God's will is. Because we believe that our way is best. Well, there is only one way to peace. There is only one way to be justified. and that is to look outside of yourself. There's plenty of looking inside to yourself these days amongst men. Seeing how well you can do, how you can improve yourself, self-improvement courses, all this kind of thing. It's a waste of time. In terms of getting peace before God, there is only one way, and it's never changed. You need to reach out, be justified on the principle of faith. What is that? Justified on the principle of faith. What is faith? Well, I'll tell you what it is for me. Faith is believing in what Christ has done at Calvary's cross. Believing that what he went through there, and I'm focusing particularly on what we call the atoning work of Christ, when he bore in 3 hours of darkness the judgment of God for our sin. He didn't have peace at that moment. And that's how our peace was procured. Amazing. That's how I can have peace. Because it was paid by our Lord Jesus Christ in anguish and horror of being made sin before his holy and righteous God. That thing which he hated was contrary to his very nature as being God himself. It's hard to imagine. God himself, so righteous and holy, one who dwells in light unapproachable, and his son the same, with the same character. He was God himself, and yet there he was made sin before God for us. That's how our peace was paid for. It was paid for in anguish at Calvary's cross, in torment, in sorrow, in sacrifice, in bearing the just judgment of God for our sin, that we might go free. Are you thankful for that? Have you reflected on the work that Christ has done and what it means for you? Because if you don't belong to the Lord Jesus, then there is an opportunity tonight to come to him in simplicity. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are, if you're conscious that you have sins upon you. Sins maybe of disobeying your parents. Sins, many other sins, take many various forms. What we do, what we say, what we think. But sometimes we're horrified by what we think, we can't help it. The work of Christ is there to clear from each and every one completely. And all that is being asked of you is to say your sorry before God. We call it repentance. That's to say you're sorry for all the sins that you've committed. Those things that you may have offended others, you may have done wrong against others, by your own will. But ultimately, it's God who would have offended. We've gone our own way. And we need to say that we're sorry to him. And more than that, we need to reach out to Jesus. But trust him as our Lord and Savior. See him there at Calvary's cross, bearing sin for us, acquiring our peace, purchasing our peace by anguish and torment. And bearing with our sin. And I'll refer perhaps to Mark 15. Yes. Page 1217, Mark 15, verse 32. And when the sixth hour was come, there came darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was the anguish that my Lord and Savior went through. Amen. That I might be forgiven. Holy righteous Son of God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken, but I have never been. And he said the same. Wonderful blessing it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. It's a point in your life when you can change completely. Change from yourself, change from looking in towards yourself. Turning around and looking at the Saviour and seeing and having the knowledge, that certain knowledge, that he's done it all for you. The work has been done to God's satisfaction. It's just a wonderful moment of light that comes into your heart and your soul to know that Christ has done it for you. And confess him as your Lord and Saviour. And you'll never regret it. I have never met a Christian who regretted turning towards the Saviour. Never. They might go through trials and tribulations and difficult times, and we do. But we have that rock solid foundation. It's based on the work that Christ has done at Calvary's cross. That can never be changed. Never ever can that be changed. That work can never be undone. With the blood that he shed there at Calvary's cross, precious blood. We thought of it this morning in remembering him, his blood, that soldier in an act of callousness pierced his side. It says in the scriptures that forthwith a flow of blood and water, blood for our cleansing. How wonderful it is. Without shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. There we have it in the Holy Scriptures, all known things, that Christ has truly shed his blood. And therefore, say we have remission of sins. That's our Lord and Saviour. Wonderful that the gospel can be preached in this way. Why? Because he's raised from amongst the dead. Yes, he's suffered that anguish in 3 hours of darkness and suffered for us. Yes, his blood was shed. Yes, he went into even the ultimate of death. But wonder of all wonders, he was raised from amongst the dead by the glory of the Father. He was satisfied in the work that Jesus has done. There'd be no purpose in any preaching, in any witness to Christ, if Christ was not raised from amongst the dead. Paul can say, if Christ is not raised, you're yet in your sins. Christ is raised. We know that. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts and our souls. It works in such a powerful way. So many ways to make us conscious of our sinful state before a righteous and a holy God. But then he makes us understand the love of divine persons towards us. That the love of Christ is real and able to change us. And I've seen it, you know, I've witnessed it. I've witnessed it in a very real way in hospital not so long ago. When somebody who's quite precious to me said that he was complete in Christ. How wonderful. He was changed. He was changed from within. I could see it. He was not the same person he was before. In a good way. Changed fundamentally. Changed within. Inside. When somebody changes that way, when you change that way, and your heart and soul is captivated with Christ, your living Saviour, you can't help but fruit of good works to flow out from that. Good works are not an objective, but they are a consequence of knowing Christ as your Lord and Saviour and living in him. They are a witness that Christ is alive. They are a witness as to the truth of Christianity and the reality of it. Well, may you have peace tonight. I think maybe everyone in this hall has peace. I don't know for certain. Only God knows. But there is the opportunity tonight, whilst the gospel goes out. Christ has done everything to God's satisfaction. There is no greater offer. It's a truly free offer. available tonight by you confessing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. May you do so. Amen.